has been already more than 8 years of works, of exhibitions, of installations, and this was a kind of game changer, not only for Palazzo Strozzi, but for Florence, for the city itself, because suddenly Palazzo Strozzi became one of the venues for contemporary art in Italy, actually the most successful one in Italy.
Benvenuti a Ciao Bella. I'm your host, Erica Firpo. For the past 20 years, I've made my home in Rome, where I've worked as a journalist contributing to publications including Afar, Washington Post, Lonely Planet, and Travel and Leisure. I love sharing the stories of Italy's pioneering creators, and I'm bringing these stories directly to you on Ciao Bella. Every week, I'm joined by contemporary artists, heritage artisans, designers, culinary experts, innovative aesthetes, and more. At the crossroads of evolution and tradition, the past and the future, they are working and creating to define and redefine 21st century Italy. Join me as we see Italy through their eyes. I remember the day I discovered Palazzo Strozzi in an Art History 102 class covering everything from the 1500s to the present. A slide was projected with a beautiful image of a late 15th century palazzo from Florence. The facade had big, chunky stones. My prof had barely mentioned the word rustication when I knew I had to stand in front of this palace in real life. And that's what I did, and still do. Every time I visit Florence, I visit Palazzo Strozzi, and not just for the rusticated stone. I also love visiting for its great art programming. For the past 8 years, Palazzo Strozzi hosts blockbuster exhibitions of contemporary art and Renaissance masters, like Marina Abramović, Donatello, Olafur Eliasson, and March 2024's Anselm Kiefer. Join me as I sit down with Arturo Galanzino, art historian and general director of Palazzo Strozzi.
I love what you've been doing with Palazzo Strozzi.
So you're familiar?
Yes.
We do, yeah.
Oh, I mean, yes. I think I came here like 4 times during the Karsten Haller show. I loved that show.
I'm glad you liked the show because Karsten was my favorite show.
Yeah. Oh, that was an amazing show. And then the funny thing is, the random thing is, I live in Rome, and on a random note, we have a terrazza, and we had to bring in a giardino because we had like a giardiniere because we had some problems. Mm-hmm. So I started talking to this guy, Alessandro, and I was like, oh, Alessandro, you know, where did you study? And he studied with Stefano, the scientist that did
that. Mancuso.
Yes. And so then I said, did you see? And he's like, the Karsten Haller. We talked. We were like, it was the best. It was the coolest thing. So I've loved every show that you've done because I also think it's, you know, we're in such an incredible location.
That just makes the difference.
Yeah. So it's so I thought, you know, I thought
let's
we just
talk about that. Amazing.
Yeah, I thought okay. We could talk first about, you know, we could talk, well, I have a bunch of questions, but we could start with, you know, where we are. And, you know, one of the things I was going to tell you is when I was a young girl, I was studying art history, and I remember that the day we studied rustication. Mm-hmm. And we studied, what is it, rusticazione in Italian. And we were studying it, and they said, this is the most beautiful example of rustication, Palazzo Strozzi. And I said, oh my goodness, I really want to see that palazzo. And here we are.
Here we are.
In Palazzo Strozzi.
Also Anselm, okay. Now, you know, also Anselm Kiefer has a special relationship with Palazzo Strozzi because he discovered this place when he was a student, about 20 years old, during a trip to Italy. They were in Florence with his group of fellow students of art, and they fell in love with the purity and the symmetry of this place. And Palazzo Strozzi became his favorite building in Italy, which sounds strange because this symmetry, this purity, this lightness also of the structure of the courtyard inside, maybe they don't fit immediately with
his artwork.
With the artwork, exactly. But they always dream to have an exhibition here. So this was his dream, in a way to use it as a challenge. And I think it worked very well because I think his massive works, they fit perfectly in our space. And I think the lightness Palazzo Strozzi match with these very heavy and monumental canvases and installation. As you know, the Kiefer show comes after a long string, a very successful string of exhibition of contemporary
You've
artists.
You've had Ai Weiwei, Marina Abramovic, Jeff Koons.
Yeah, Olaf Ueli.
Anish Kapoor,
Carsten Oehler.
I mean, amazing.
Viola, many
Oh, yeah,
others.
The Bill Viola show, I forgot.
And many others, and so it has been already more than 8 years of works, of exhibitions, of installations, and this was a kind of game changer, not only for Palazzo Strozzi, but for Florence, for the city itself, because suddenly Palazzo Strozzi became one of the venues for contemporary art in Italy, actually the most successful one in Italy. And at the time when we started in 2016, this was very strange, very peculiar, because Florence didn't have this vocation, this reputation for contemporary art.
No, you really think about the Renaissance.
Yeah, and we still think about the Renaissance, because I think one of the reasons why all these great artists are so keen come here, so inspired by the city, is because of its glorious past, all this art, this history. So we use it, the past, not as a burden. We don't feel it as a burden, but we feel that our past is an asset also for contemporary art, because these artists like to engage a real dialogue, not a superficial one, but a real dialogue, exploration of our values, of our history. That's the reason why I think all these artists gave their best here, challenging what this building means. If you think about what Carsten Oehler did, what Tomas Saraceno did, they used this space as a starting point of a narrative about environment, about the future, about sustainability, just starting from humanist values of the humanism of the Renaissance, and so on. Many artists challenge this place in a very good way, I think, very positive. I think is the good way to make history living and not only to feel it like a dead body. Here at Palazzo Strozzi, we want that history and art history live and live again through the lens of contemporary art.
I think I love hearing that, because I do think that there is a lot of weight in Florence, in Rome, in Venice for the history. And it's so great to see this contemporary look on the city. I'm curious in regard to you personally, because I know you're an expert in Caravaggio.
I'm expert in many things, or in nothing, I don't know. But let's say that I was trained as an art historian, and I work in my works spanning from the 15th century to the 17th century, and still curating old master show.
Yeah, you're an old master's expert, which is amazing. And it's amazing to that expertise, and then to put it into the context of contemporary art. I'm curious about, I know that you worked at the Louvre, and you were at, was it the Royal Palace? No, wait, not the
National Gallery, the National, Royal Academy.
And the Royal Academy, exactly. I mean, you have such a great international background. How do you feel coming to Florence with that? Because also I think one of the things that I love about Florence is that it's also a very small town. It's not international. I mean, it is international on one level, but it's also very local.
Yes.
And I wondered how that affects all of that incredible experience that you have, how you bring that into Palazzo Strozzi.
Yes, Florence is, you're right, is such a small city, but at the same time, it has an international background. The entire world passed through Florence. You know, it's really, for many people, the place to be. We are a big international tourism, a lot of intellectuals, writers, they like to spend time in Florence. Of course, we have this great art history. So we try to use all these elements to build up this new identity for Palazzo Strozzi as an international venue for art, not only contemporary art. Because,
you know, well, you had the Donatello show. You're having a Fra Angelico show, is that correct?
Next year, yeah. We also like to work with the main exhibition of 15th century and 16th century, which are always among the best exhibition of the year, and always unprecedented show. In Florence, we have this opportunity, so we want to use this opportunity. But we don't want to do just that. We see art, old master art and contemporary art, on the same level and part of the same narrative. As I said before, I think that we want to rediscover the art history and to make that more accessible also through contemporary art, also the other way around, because during the Old Master Show, we like to create connection with installation of contemporary art in the courtyard and so on. During the Donatello Show, for instance, 2 years ago in the courtyard, we had a big installation by the digital artist Refik Anadol, you know, that he's recently had a big installation in the MoMA, very successful, which was inspired by the colors of 15th century. So, you know, we like to create this kind of dialogue, this kind of combination, and I think they're very useful for art history, for people to learn, be engaged, to make things more accessible. This is the mantra of all the museums and institutions, as you know.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the best things that you do, not best things, there are so many great things I think that happen at Palazzo Strozzi, but one of the things that I think is, like, when you talk about accessibility, is just the fact that anybody can walk into the cortile and you see a huge artwork. So, for example, with this Anselm Kiefer show, that beautiful painting. So I think just to let people who are listening understand that Palazzo Strozzi has an open courtyard in the sense that it's exposed to the natural elements. There is no roof. And in the center of this courtyard right now, we're in the month of March and through the summer, is a huge painting by Anselm Kiefer that will be exposed to the elements. And anybody can walk in there and take a look at that.
Yeah, this is part of our mission. Accessibility, of being an open institution. Our courtyard is open to everybody. We have about 2 million people passing through the courtyard, which now became a piazza, because before the beginning of the Fondazione Palazzo Strozzi, the courtyard was closed because the palace was closed. The doors were closed. Now it became a kind of piazza where a lot of people pass through. We have a bar, a restaurant where people can sit or just come and enjoy art. And this is for everybody. It's free, of course. And then if you're interested, you can buy a ticket and go to see the exhibitions that we have. Yes, this is part of our accessibility strategy, of course. But I think it's a kind of gift that you want to make to the city and to all the people that enjoy Florence, love Florence, Florentine, and visitors. Our public is mainly a public of art connoisseurs, art lovers, and normally we don't have the first comers, because of course if you come for the first time to Florence,
Uffizi,
maybe you have other things to do, and it makes sense, you don't go to see an exhibition, especially contemporary art. But we work a lot with people who love Florence. They come back maybe every year, or even twice a year for our exhibitions. Our surveys show very well how a lot of public, the main part of our public, is a public that come back to Strozzi every time for a show, from Italy, from Europe, and from also overseas and the rest of the world.
So we
build up a very strong community worldwide.
I think you guys have done a really great job also on social media of presenting who you are, what your shows are. I also think it is, you know, we're just behind Piazza della Repubblica. You walk past here, you see this incredible building, and if you happen to walk by the front doors on either side, then, well, at least on this side, then when you see the artwork, you can't help but want to come in. You know, I think that's also, again, like you're saying, this engagement, you've done a really great job. Can we talk a little bit about the show, about
Fallen Angels? Let's talk about
Angeli Caduti, Fallen Angels.
Fallen Angels, yes. This is at the end of a long process, in the beginning, of course, of the show. We are now, we are convinced that there is a great show. I think it's amazing, the result. We have been working on this project for 7 years, so it's a long time. And Hansen wanted to take time to develop this mainly new exhibition, because I would say that 3/4 of the show is made by new works, site-specific, of course, because this is required in a place like that, especially for these massive paintings. It's a very profound show, because it's about our life, our existence. We start with this big canvas that you mentioned in the courtyard, representing the fight between God and evil, the good and evil, between the angel Michael and the rebel angels. And then this narrative is really a kind of fil rouge through the show, touching many themes, spanning from literature to mythology to Hebrew philosophy, etc., etc. It's, you know, as you know, the language of Anselm is very various, a stratification of many, many meanings, sometimes very difficult to explain his work. He doesn't want that people explain too much. Zlotin doesn't believe in that.
Well, I think it's very visceral. It's very much like, I think you can't help but have a physical response to his paintings. You know, I saw his show at the Biennale 2 years ago, which was that huge Baroque room, incredible. And I think something you said earlier about the, you were saying that Anselm fell in love with this building, the purity of the lines, the balance of the lines. And I think it's really interesting because this is a, you know, this is the perfect harmony of the Renaissance that we're in. And then his work is just, you know, it's heavy. It's got a lot of material, the lead, piombo, the use of gold leaf sometimes. And then the weight of the imagery, the weight of the philosophy behind it. It's a big contrast.
It's a big contrast. There are also some reference to the Renaissance. You mentioned the gold leaf, which is typical of the pictorial language of the end of the Baltic time and the beginning of the Renaissance. So there is this use of gold leaf, which is so Florentine. There are some other inspiration from the Renaissance, such as the school of the philosopher.
School of Athens.
Etc. Yes, but you're right, there is mainly a contrast, and especially in one room, the so-called room of the irradiated paintings, here in this room really goes against the architecture, because it covers up everything with this series of 60 paintings irradiated by plutonium, so almost destroying the painting. So there is this narrative between destruction and creation, which is typical of the language of Anselm Kiefer, and you can see this all around the exhibition. Yeah,
it's a really incredible show, and that room I don't want to give too much away, but that room, it's 60 paintings and this incredible mirror as well. It's very much a contrast from everything else, and it's such a great. I found such a great feeling. I don't know. I felt warmth. I felt all the energy. I loved that room.
It's probably the plutonium.
Yeah. I better decompress. You know, I wanted to ask you, we were talking a little bit about the significance and the importance of Palazzo Strozzi, the museum, and the shows that you do. In Italy, what are some of your favorite museums? I mean, this year is a big year. We're at the Biennale, so this is a great year to see contemporary art in Italy. And I wanted to know if you have some favorite other spaces, other places.
There are so many great places in Florence and outside Florence in the rest of Italy. It's difficult to me to mention some of the places because I don't want to have any enemies, because I should mention everybody. But you know, in Florence we have special, very, very special places. Everybody knows, of course, the main institution, but there are places a little bit less known. I don't know, Museo della Specola, which is the scientific museum, which is just reopened, incredibly old science museum, where you can see incredible things spanning from the Renaissance until the 18th century. One of the best experiences you can have in Florence. The most important sculptural museum in town is the Museo del Bargello. We worked with the Museo del Bargello twice for the Verrocchio show and for Donatello. This is just the temple of sculpture, and it's a pity that there is no queue in front of the museum, because the most part of tourists go to the Uffizi, to the Academy, etc. But the Bargello deserves much more. I tell you again, it's the most important sculptural museum in the world, and what you can see there is just incredible. And there are many other places more hidden. So really, Florence is, you can find gems really, really everywhere. In Italy, you know, we have many partners, also institutional partners and friends. I often collaborate with the Gallerie d'Italia, for instance. They belong to Banca Intesa San Paolo.
I was just in Napoli. I love every Gallerie d'Italia.
The buildings they restored are incredible, and they are offering in many cities in Italy, Vicenza, Torino, Milano, and Naples, an incredible series of exhibitions. I also curated a couple of them. Now in Milano, there is an exhibition of Moroni.
That's yours?
Yes, curated. I'm very proud of this show. It's my third exhibition of Moroni.
Complimenti.
This is the biggest ever done, so it's a great achievement for me, but I think also for the Galleria d'Italia, because it's a really incredible show with a very big success. Now there are great institutions in Italy. I'm very also admire a lot what the Angar Bicocca in Milan does,
yeah,
because they make contemporary art outside of the center of Milan. As you know, Ansel Kiefer has there one of his best installation ever, the Seven Celestial Palaces, which is, to me, should be a landmark in Milan.
I know.
Everybody should go there.
I agree with you. I 100% agree with you.
And it's a very accessible institution because it's for free, so it's open to everybody. In Italy, I think we are lucky. We are so many great institutions. Yeah.
We are pretty lucky. Can I ask where you're from? Where did you grow up?
Yeah, I was born in Northwest, in Piedmont, in the region of Monferrato. So I was born in the countryside, so I am a country boy, and I still very linked to my roots. I go there very often.
Do you have I love the Langhe. It's one of my favorite areas. And I'm wondering, do you have a favorite art space in Piemonte?
Listen, in the Monferrato area and the Langhe area, we are very lucky about the landscape, the food and the wine. Of course, I think this is
probably
the best in
yeah,
Italy.
I'm
sorry for the other regions. But of course, we are a little bit less about, let's say, main art history. Of course, there are incredible things to see, beautiful churches in Alba, from Alba to Casale Monferrato. We have, you know, all these really incredible things, but not so well known. What is, I think, is happening now, and also through the words of many people, including Patrizia Sandretto Rebaudengo, you know, she's an old friend and a great collector. And she, with other people, they are trying to push contemporary art in this part of Italy, and I think this will happen soon, and it will be a great success. It's just the ingredient missing to a very special environment.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I try not to tell people about Piemonte. I keep it a secret because I don't want anyone to visit. Yeah. But Patrizia has been a guest of mine, and I love going to Piemonte for many reasons, the Langhe, for the food, as you're saying, the landscape, but there's so much great art there as well. And you're so lucky to have grown up in that environment.
Yeah.
Thank you, Arturo and Palazzo Strozzi, for making this episode happen. And thank you, Ansel Kiefer, for Angeli Caduti. For more Angeli Caduti and Palazzo Strozzi, visit palazzostrozzi.org. PALAZZOSTROZZI. .org. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Ciao Bella. The editor of Ciao Bella is Mastro. Production manager is Jenna Spray. If you're new to Ciao Bella, take a peek at ciaobella.co, our all-encompassing Italy-focused website, where you'll find insider insight on contemporary Italy. And sign up for our newsletter for new episodes and articles. Follow me on Instagram at Erica Firpo, and follow Ciao Bella on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. Leave us a rating or comment. Ciao, ciao.